Recyclical, making lithium ion last forever. Recyclical's patented recycling process achieves up to 100% recovery of battery metals from lithium ion batteries for electric vehicles, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, and aluminum. Recyclical Battery Materials Incorporated trades on the TSX Venture AMY, on the OTCQB AMYZF, and Frankfurt ID4. For more information, visit recyclico.com or phone us at 778-574-4444. Recyclico, making lithium ion last forever.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at talkdigitalnetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk with you.
Is gold the real deal right now?
Well, I think so. I mean, we're seeing all the signs that it is, and it's not just simply because it's gone up. Gold broke through that 2100 level before we last spoke, actually. It's been over a month. And it went up first, and silver had remained below its $26 resistance level, which had held it down for well over a year. And historically, what happens in a new bull market for the precious metals complex is gold breaks out first, and then silver and other metals follow too, such as copper, aluminum, zinc, lead, and so forth. And this is exactly what's happened. Gold broke out first, and now this week, silver did it. Silver broke through that $26 barrier. Copper's breaking out in aluminum, platinum, all that stuff is starting to turn too. So, and the mining stocks, of course, are also beginning to come alive, which is something they haven't really done in a long time. coinciding with the moving silver, but with them, it's really only just starting, because when it comes to the mining stocks, what's happening is also what historically tends to happen when they get bullish, and that is that the big cap mining stocks start to surge first, and you're seeing that, and then money, as that's happening, money starts to trickle into the smaller ones. And then individually, you'll start to see them jump and start to do really well. And some of that, I think, is starting in some of the individual names. But to me, the way this is set up, this isn't just a rally, you know, like we saw, let's say, in 2021 or 2016 to 2018, but more likely the start of a secular bull market, one that's going to last for quite some time, like, let's say, what happened after 2000, in March 2000 to 2012. And another part of this is that gold, silver, and the metals, they are also a part of the overall commodity complex. And except for energy, other commodities, the soft commodities, food and so forth, they've been kind of weak for the past year and a half, basically peaking out about the same time the price of silver did. And historically, gold and silver go up first, then these things start to go up, and they look like that's going to happen too. Some are soaring. The price of cocoa has gone up wildly in the past couple of months. But other commodity stocks are, look to me like they're turning. There's a whole bunch of like agriculture fertilizer stocks that look like they form bases and are also on the verge of breaking out. So, you know, there's a lot of speculation of what the cause of all this is or why is gold going up. But, you know, all the signs suggest that this is the start of something.
So you say the miners are going to pick up. What about junior miners and the explorers? Are they getting any attention?
Yeah, some of them are starting to come to life. I think they're going to do really well. But right at the start of a move, and I'd say the past couple weeks has been the start, often the juniors and stuff, they don't really start to take off, but and then it's like they're fueling up, and then they go. And I think they're about to go. I mean, especially with the silver breakout, they seem to have their action tied to, for whatever reason, the action in silver just as closely as they do gold. But some of the individual names are jumping. I mean, you can see some of the stocks up 10% in a day, you know, at times in the past couple of weeks. And I think that's just going to continue. I've noticed on some of the websites that really cover the small cap of explorers and juniors, you're starting to see some of them do financing. So that's showing the market starting to, you know, interest is starting to come to life. But all this said, you know, everything been saying the past couple minutes, in the United States, there's still zero interest at all. In fact, last week, I don't have the numbers for this week yet, but last week, there was roughly $300 million in outflows of the GLD ETF in the United States. You know, as gold has been going up, the masses in the United States apparently have been selling. They're not really bullish yet. I think it's more people around the world. Central banks been accumulating gold in traders in Canada, you know, all over the world, but not in the United States. And eventually, as the price goes up more, and for more than just, you know, a couple of weeks, as we've seen, but a couple of months, at some point, Americans will have some interest in this. And that interest will only grow. And that's what ultimately fuels a bull market for a long time, is more and more people getting into it. And I think that's why this can go up for years. Or be bullish for years, because that process hasn't even begun. And at some point, I think the stock market will falter, and Bitcoin will go down, and that'll get people out of, you know, some people out of those markets and into gold, silver, and mining stocks of big and small ones.
What's the outlook for crude?
Well, I think I'm bullish on crude. The energy stocks, they had a small dip from September to December, and now they're perking up. I'm not as bullish. Well, I mean, they're not just perking up, but some of them are trading at all-time highs, such as Exxon. The XLE energy stock ETF is also through its high last year. Crude itself is around $85 as we're speaking. It had dipped down below 70 briefly in December, but I'm not super bullish on it. The metals and mining stocks, but I'm not. You know, I just don't think it's going to go up as quickly or as much, but I think all this begs the question, though, of what does all this mean for inflation? The Federal Reserve has been saying once inflation down to 2% CPI annualized, and then they would lower interest rates. And it's been hovering above 3% the past several months and hasn't been able to get below it. And I don't really think it's going to be able to. I mean, if we're seeing oil go up and other commodities go up, I mean, it's not like oil is 150 or something, but it's certainly not going down. In the price of corn and wheat and coffee and all this stuff, it's not going down. I'm not saying it's going to double in 6 months, but it's just not going down. So how's the inflation going to go down that much more than it already has, the rate of inflation? I don't think it will. And the Fed basically positioned itself at the last meeting as being super dovish, saying that they want to lower rates and in a few months, and they said that while also boosting their own inflation outlook and the outlook for the GDP growth. You know, in other words, they got more optimistic about how fast the economy grow and pessimistic about how much inflation will go down, and still said they want a lower rate. So this is another reason to, maybe this is a big reason why gold and silver are just exploding now, because the Fed, it's not just them, the Swiss central bank, they lowered rates. The bank of the European Central Bank lady, she said she wants to lower rates in June. And they want to do these things when inflation hasn't been defeated. They're giving up the inflation fight completely. This is telling everyone in the world that the value of their money is going to go down, and the only way you can protect yourself is hard assets. So it's almost a necessity to get into these markets if you think like an investor now.
What other hard assets are people looking at?
Well, I mean, I think of gold and silver is the best way to protect from inflation, but real estate, if you can, you know, buy in the right market, is a way to protect yourself from inflation. I just think of something physical, land, and so forth. But I'll tell you, we live in a time of huge, I guess the word's misinformation out there, because, you know, a virtual asset is not a hard asset. I mean, crypto. You know, virtual crypto coins are not going to protect one from inflation. That's where could be the reason why so many people in the United States haven't made these adjustments yet, as people elsewhere, because they're so captivated by the crypto coins and what the gurus in that space tell them, which is, it's, you know, going to be the global currency and all this stuff, and it's just not going to happen. And these are just, you know, currency. Just, I don't think it's money anyway, but just for the sake of argument, say it is. Well, cash money doesn't protect you from inflation. Why would virtual money? All it does is trade up and down with the NASDAQ. It's just an instrument of financial speculation, and I would suggest it's the most speculative element in the financial markets because it doesn't represent ownership in anything. So it's like the opposite of a hard asset. But you know, it's so simple. Anyone can go now to a coin, a bullion dealer. You don't have to be rich to spend $27 now. I was about to say 25, but that was last week. And buy an ounce of silver. You know, anyone can do it.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, meme stocks, how are they doing? And I think we're also thinking about the Trump social media IPO, how it started off gangbusters. Is that going to be just termed meme stock? And will it be worth much in 6 months when President Trump would be able to cash in his stock for billions? Or will it just be hundreds?
Well, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. I know it's been extremely volatile. Let me see what the price actually is today. It had a bad day because they announced the other day that they lost like $50 million in the last quarter. They're not turning a profit. It IPO'd and went up, and people that got in, like, or already own shares, like Donald Trump, you know, before the IPO, they're very wealthy on paper. But, I mean, to me, this is just nothing new. I don't think really much new happens in the market that's never happened before. And there have been internet companies I remember that traded in 1999 and 2000 that opened up like this stock did, and these companies didn't make money, and then in a few years they went bankrupt and the stock vanished. So if it never becomes profitable, I would suggest that's what's going to happen to this, and Donald Trump and the other insiders of this will dump on the way down, and it's like a collectible for the people buying it, because he's got a lot of fans and they want to own a piece of this. You know, they can't own a piece of one of his real estate companies because they're not publicly traded, but they can own a piece of this. And so I think that's what they're doing. But I, as an investment, I have no interest in it because I don't, it's not just because of him or because it's new or something. I'm not interested in investing in social media stocks, period. If Twitter was a trading company, I wouldn't want to buy that. I think these things were hot a couple of years ago. They're just not that interesting to me.
Is there anything else that you're keeping a close eye on right now?
Yeah, I'll throw one idea out there you're not going to hear anywhere else. So if you look at the commodity complex and look at markets outside the United States and look at emerging markets, typically emerging markets go up when commodities go up. And it could be because the global economy is growing or the emerging markets in China are growing. And so there's more demand for commodities and they're linked together that way. But I've done something I've never done before, and that's I bought a ETF that invests in China. I bought a China ETF now, and sort of as a 2 or 3 year trade. So the Chinese stock market's been in a bear market for 3 years, and it come off a bottom. It's got a very low valuation. The cyclically adjusted PE is below 10. In years past, I bought Turkey when it was below 10 and Greece way back in 2012 for like a 2 year trade both times. And the Chinese stock market's gotten below that valuation level. And now it's trading right around its 150-day, 200-day moving average. If it can go, if it can rally another 1 or 2%, it'll break out. And then I'll be holding my position and see what it can do the rest of the year. And I'm optimistic it can do that because it tends to go up when commodities go up. So that's a situation that I'm doing a 2 or 3 year trade on.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thank you. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or for any of our guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. We'll ask that question for you. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on X at How Street. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.